Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on the America Out Loud platform. I am glad you could all join us tonight. My host tonight, co-host tonight, is Heather Robinson of the New York Post. And Heather, we are going to dissect Joe Biden's third State of the Union address. Now, I don't know if you noticed or not, Heather, but usually the State of the Union is given in January. Mm-hmm. But for the past three addresses, including this one, they've always been later in the year, around March. I don't know why that mm-hmm. is. I don't know if anyone has even noticed it, but for him, it's always been like late in the year as opposed to the beginning of the year. And mm-hmm. did you know that?
I hadn't really, but yeah, he's Sleepy Joe. So I guess
and not only that, you know, later in the year, but each time he arrives late. I mean,
yeah,
it's the things that the media allow this guy to get away with. It's unreal. It's just unreal. Mm-hmm. And even tonight or last night, I was watching the speech. He came off as an angry old man who was constantly yelling his points. He didn't even give the House Speaker a chance to introduce him. He just jumped right into a speech and started yelling. Mm-hmm. Protocol mm-hmm. is for the House Speaker to say, this is the President of the United States, et cetera, et cetera. But Joe didn't even mm-hmm. wait. I guess he was so, it was almost as if though, you know how when you're a kid and you're practicing a speech and you're getting ready mm-hmm. to make the speech and before they can introduce you, you just start speaking because you're so excited mm-hmm. or nervous energy. I think in Joe's case, it was nervous energy. So he just started blurting out, blah, 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 this is who I am, and smiling. And then he started yelling. And I kept thinking throughout the entire speech, what the heck is he yelling about?
Well, I mean, my overall impression, Rob, was what country does he think he's in? All the talk about we're creating jobs, booming economy, happy days, people can start a family, start a business. I'm thinking, what country has he been living in? How about this doozy I wrote down? He said, violent crime fell to its lowest level in 50 years. During my presidency. Anybody who believes that, I, you know, has to have their head so far up their wazoo that they're on the way to China. I mean, meanwhile, stores in every city have everything under lock and key. I mean, it's like, what do you want to believe? Reality around you or Joe Biden's take on it, which I don't know what to say about this. I mean, I guess they're just playing with the numbers. I mean, how would they come up with a statement like that?
And
violent
to see,
crime is at its lowest in 50 years.
Well, you look no further than New York City. They're now saying, Governor Hochul, that she's going to have the National Guard in the subway to check bags. Mm-hmm. The
right,
National Guard.
Violent crime is at its lowest in 50 years, according to Joe Biden. I mean, it's just... it's like Orwellian, you know?
And our mayor told us that it's all a matter of perception, that the crime is down. Mm-hmm. There is no violent crime in the subway. And each time he would say it, someone would get beat up, pushed on the subway, or shot or stabbed. But they were telling us, yeah. Oh, there's no crime on the subway. And you have New Yorkers who are either buying into it because they'll keep voting for these knuckleheads. Kathy Hochul is saying, well, I don't know what else we could do. Well, she can very easily fire Alvin Bragg, the district attorney, fire him for not doing his job, and then turn back the clock on. We're not going to prosecute anyone who steals $900 worth of goods and below. Prosecute them and stop this catch and release. We're going to catch them and we're going to let them go. Look at what happened to Lake and Riley. Had New York City done its job and kept that guy behind bars, Lake and Riley would be with us tonight. Joe Biden didn't even mention her name, refused to mention her name And for him to say that crime is down, the border is okay, it's a lie. And for the Democrats to sit there and clap and cheer him on, it is the same lie that they want us to believe that men can have babies and that men should participate in female sports. It's all a big ruse. It's a lie. And I hope Americans are seeing through this. Now, of course, the Monday morning quarterbacks of the liberal stations like fake news CNN and PMSNBC, they're going to praise Joe Biden. I mean, Joe Scarborough said the other day that Joe Biden, this is the best he has ever been. And he's known Joe Biden for 20 plus years. And Joe is on all cylinders. It is a complete bold-faced lie.
Yeah, I mean, I will say that he seemed more cogent than I would have expected. He didn't seem particularly scattered or confused tonight. However, he was reading. Okay, this isn't a debate, right? But I mean, I guess because we've seen him, you know, bumbling around so badly, to tell you the truth, I was expecting worse in that area. I mean, I didn't think he came across, I mean, he, you know, misspoke a couple times, but he didn't come across as confused as he usually does, I think. And, you know, but I just thought what was more salient was this ridiculous Shangri-La America he was describing. I mean, it was so over the top. It was like, it's like asking for, you know, for us to call BS, you know. I mean, I wrote down a few things, Rob. You know, he has talking about research into women's health, which sounds good. You know, we need cancer research, we need all kinds of things, but it's led by Dr. Jill Biden. I'm like, excuse me? I mean, shouldn't that be a scientist, not a community college instructor of writing? Which, there's nothing wrong with that. I used to do that. But I mean, how is his wife qualified to be the person in charge of women's health?
She's not qualified to be in charge of women's health. But again, this is just one of those, we're going to glorify you and give you a title, give you something to do to make it seem as if though that you're an expert. But back to your statement about him being cogent, you're correct. He was. I mean, he did have a few snafus, but he was yelling and screaming, which is what people, I'm told, with early dementia do, especially people who are of Joe's age. They yell and they scream. And not only that, I mean, you can shoot the person up with vitamin B and they'll come out every time and hit all notes. Like you said, he was reading and he has been. And I don't think he was either Camp David or his vacation home, apparently rehearsing this, because you got to remember, Heather, we have not seen Joe. Joe's been behind closed doors for some time now. Away during the primaries that took place on Tuesday night, Super Tuesday, we didn't even see Joe come out. Joe gave a statement on X, formerly known as Twitter. They criticized other politicians, mainly Republicans, who are tweeting or Xing, but Democrats can do it. So he wasn't out. He was behind closed doors, and they were probably shooting him up with vitamin B. They're giving him something, okay, to make him as coherent as possible. Maybe they're giving him Adderall, you know, the flow drops, because you can now get it without a doctor's prescription. Do not doubt me when I say this. They are giving Joe something. And when it's all said and done, it's going to be leaked that this president has been highly sedated each time he comes out to give a speech of this magnitude. Because if you recall, during the previous State of the Union addresses, he's always been somewhat on point. So tonight, I didn't expect anything different other than he might fall. He did do a couple of stumbles, and there was someone yelling from the gallery. I don't know if they were yelling Free Palestine or not, but that did throw him off a bit. But other than that, he was as cogent as a person would be at his age, who's been given vitamin B or something to keep him focused. So I am not at all surprised that he was able to get through this. But on any other day, you don't get this, Joe. And the media is going to come out and say, oh my God, you see that? He's showing them right now that he's ready for this. No, he isn't. Don't be deceived. Everything that Joe was saying tonight, or I'm sorry, Thursday night, was very deceptive. Because the America, like you said, that he was describing is not the America that we're living in. The America that we're living in is high inflation. The America that we're living in, we see illegals coming in at the border. The America that we're living in, we have an illegal alien who killed Lake and Riley. The America that we're living in, Joe Biden will not say her name. The America that we're living in, we saw food shortages. The America that we're living in, jobs are not being created the way he claims that they're being created. The America that we're living in, people are leaving the big blue states and cities because of crime. There's crime all around us. So this America that Joe is describing, the Shangri-La, as you said, does not exist. It exists in his mind. But for us, it does not exist. And these Democrats that are saying, oh my God, yes, it does. Oh, Joe was, he's just right. No, no, no. We need to wake up. We've got to wake up because this is very dangerous. And Heather, what are your thoughts about this whole thing? He mentioned Ukraine again, giving Ukraine more money. And on top of that, I'm hearing that they're getting ready to build some type of deck or dock in the Gaza Strip because they're saying it's going to allow them to bring in military aid. No, it's not. That's going to be given to Hamas. We're in essence funding, right? We're funding a terrorist group. That's what's happening.
Yeah. I mean, I don't understand. I haven't understood the whole way through, Rob. I mean, on the one hand, I mean, I'm proud that Israel is doing what it can and trying to minimize civilian loss of life and giving these people, you know, routes to flee and go. But I mean, I don't understand how they know that Hamas isn't just leaving with the civilians. I don't, but, you know, I mean, in terms of the humanitarian aid, I mean, I've said before, I really think if we really care about innocent life, one thing the world could do is evacuate Palestinian children, but nobody's going to do that. They're just going to pour more aid in there and let the children continue to be used as shields, which is why so many of them are dying. Because, you know, as even Biden said tonight, that's how Hamas fights. They purposely hide like cowards, you know, among civilians and the hospitals and the schools and use these people. And the loony left just, you know, just bolsters them in doing that. And so more kids are going to die. And it's very sad. But, you know, Israel's trying to complete this mission. Look, Joe, he, from the start, you know, he's been a little better than I would have expected on Israel, which isn't to say that, you know, he doesn't pander also to, you know, this two-state solution fantasy, et cetera. I do understand concern for innocent life on both sides. I've said that before. You know, that's not the same thing as demonizing Israel. I refuse to do that. I know that this was started by Hamas, is being continued by Hamas. I was glad that Joe said, you know, if Hamas wants this, if the Palestinians, you know, want this to stop, there's a deal on the table. Hamas can give back the hostages and surrender. I mean, all the supposed humanitarians who demonize Israel, like you've pointed out, Rob, they never demand Hamas do anything. And we know it could all be over. We know Hamas started it and perpetuated it and is continuing to hold, you know, Israelis. And by the way, they're holding several Americans. And I noticed Biden did not specifically mention that. We've said before that it's kind of noteworthy that no one talks about the fact that Hamas has numerous Americans. They're dual Israeli-American citizens, and he didn't talk about that. You know, he talked about the couple Americans being held by Russia, but not the larger number being held by Hamas.
Right, and he never will talk about it because he wants to make it seem as if though it's not happening. He does not seem as if though they don't want to demonize Hamas. They're playing to that small percentage of Arab Americans in Michigan. Because if you recall, during the primary, there, I think about 100,000 individuals did a no protest vote against Biden. So he's trying to appease them. And I think that's extremely dangerous. You have a small group of people that are trying to control the presidency, and Biden is bowing down to them. He claims that Trump is bowing down to Russia. And of course, he hopes to steps out of the gate talking about Trump and Russia and Putin, which is a play on the whole Russia collusion deal, which was a complete hoax created by the Democrats. And I'd said all along that John Durham's report, I mean, I go back to it, had his report come out a lot sooner than later, I think it would have done more good than it did when he came out so late. But, you know, Biden comes out the gate talking about Putin and Russia and how Trump is bowing down. I'm thinking, but buddy, look at you bowing down to China. He's saying, I don't want to trade war with China, but it's like, but you're doing just the opposite. You're allowing China to steal our intellectual property. You're allowing China to set up base in our own backyard. You're allowing China to fly balloons in America, and then you're denying it. I mean, in my opinion, Heather, we're coming up against a commercial break, but I will say this. Listening to Biden and watching the Democrats in the galley, as I opened up saying, just a group of deniers who refuse to accept the fact that Biden in 3 years has brought America down to its knees in 3 years because of the lack of policies and the policies that they attacked and destroyed. And why? It wasn't for Americans. It was to allow illegals to come in at the border. It was allowing for everyone else to come in. He has put everyone else first but Americans. I don't know why it's so difficult to put Americans first, but this administration has gone out and have deliberately shown us that they don't want America to be first. And if you are, they'll call you a nationalist, a white supremacist. This is very dangerous for the country. It's extremely dangerous. We have a man in the White House, and we have Democrats in Congress that don't care about America. They don't care about American citizens. They don't care about America first. They're only concerned with other people. And that's the reason why they're giving our taxpayer dollars to these illegals free of charge. And as B.B. Diamond and I once said, they talk about reparations for blacks. Well, yeah, but we've got to study that. You got to study reparations for blacks. Now, I don't believe in reparations, but when it comes time to give to illegals, you don't have to study. You just write the check and give it to them. Mm-hmm. Then they go their merry little way, and then they cause a lot of damage here in America. Yeah. We write the check out to Ukraine. You don't have to study it. Just write it out. So we're going to pick this up on the other side of the break. You listen to After Dark with Robin Andrew on the America Out Loud platform. And my co-host tonight is Heather Robinson of the New York Post.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/outloud or AmericaOutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. Cofix RX has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the Cofix RX banner on AmericaOutloud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutloud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
And we're back with After Dark with Robin Andrew, and my co-host tonight is Heather Robinson. I want to talk about Biden yelling, trying to get his point across. And as you said, he was more coherent than we had expected him to be. But I can't get over the yelling. Oh, and I got to mention this before I forget. I was looking through my notes, and I was looking at some of the comments that were being played, and apparently he did mention or attempted to mention Lincoln Riley, but he called her Lincoln Riley. So that was a little snafu, but I'm sure that the media won't pick up on it. They'll just say, oh, well, you know, so what? He made a mistake. And then the yelling from the galley was from a, let me see, I'm told that that was from a soldier's dad. I think someone who had lost their son's life in the war was yelling out at Biden. Oh. Yeah, was interrupted by a Gold Star dad at the State of the Union address. Okay, that's what it was. Okay, he said that when Biden was talking about a crime, a man yelled, "Abbeygate, Abbeygate," in reference to the terrorist attack at Kabul airport in 2021. Well, of course, Biden doesn't mm-hmm. care. I mean, just like the 13 soldiers who were killed. I mean, mm-hmm. the media gives this man so much cover, the same way they're giving him cover for the death of Lake and Riley, the same way they're giving him cover for the illegals that are coming in at the border. His entire administration, he has been giving cover, as we mentioned, with the economy. The economy is not the best, but they have nothing else to talk about. And look at how many inferences he made to President Trump. Well, my predecessor, mm-hmm. my this, my that, my this. It's like, but Biden, what record can you show to the American people that you have done? Do you even have a record to stand on? And he doesn't.
No, the country's a mess, Rob. Let's you know, tell it like it is. I mean, I just went to the grocery store and spent over $100 on like five things. I mean, it's absurd. I mean, I wrote down a few zingers. Political violence has no place in America, he says, when invoking the liberals' favorite day, January 6th, which I'm surprised they haven't made a national holiday, because it was the day conservatives were bad. You know, and they were bad that day. It was a bad day, and I wouldn't deny that. But, you know, where was he condemning political violence for 6 months in the summer, spring and summer of 2020? Okay, was that also, did that have no place in America? You know, and then, it was kind of interesting when he said he was going to fly to Moscow. You know, I wrote down maybe a Freudian slip. He should fly there and negotiate an end to this Ukraine-Russia madness already.
But he won't do it. The same way he took his time about going to East Palestine, Ohio, to look at the victims of the train derailment. He wouldn't go there. And then he went to not El Paso, Texas, but Brownville, Texas, to look at the border, when he should have gone to El Paso or some other place whereby the border has been breached. And then the other night, did you see the other night after the primaries, you had the host of PMSNBC laughing that Americans are concerned about the border? Like, how could you? It is a serious deal. But they don't take any of this seriously, Heather. And if they do, they're hoping that Americans don't take it seriously. They're hoping that the voters don't take it seriously. And that is the reason why they're living in this. They wanted to live in this fantasy land that everything is okay. I keep looking at, thinking about last night, looking at the galley at the Democrats who were sitting there clapping for Biden when he was talking about the economy and that there is no inflation. And I'm thinking, you guys are lying. And you want the American people to buy it. But when we see all around us, we see the carnage that's taking place. People that are being killed. Here in New York City, they have the National Guards that are now manning the subway. Now, if you think back, Heather, I think it was Senator mm-hmm. Tom Cotton had written a piece, either the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal, saying that we need to have the National Guards to come in a lot of these blue states to get normalcy back, to do the policing. And what did the Democrats do? They said, this is nothing but racism. Like, how is it racism when you're trying to curtail the violence that's clearly in all of our cities, violence thanks to Joe Biden and these woke district of attorneys that refuse to prosecute crimes? But Joe is telling us everything is okay. But how can it be okay when we see death all around us? It can't be okay.
It's just lies. I mean, violent crime, again, fell to its lowest level in 50 years. I just simply don't believe that.
Because it's a lie. That's why you can't believe it.
Too much time on the streets of New York City, you know. I haven't personally witnessed violence, thank God, but I've seen people make threats. I've been threatened on the street. I've had several crazy encounters, the likes of which I didn't have more than one in 20 years living in New York when I was younger, within, going back to visit like maybe 6 times over the past couple of years, I've probably seen a half a dozen angry, threatening incidents on the street. I just don't believe that. I just don't believe it. I don't think the violent crime is at its lowest level in 50 years. I think they're playing with the numbers or something. You?
They play with the numbers with COVID. Of course, they're going to play with the numbers now because crime is up, just like inflation. And everyone in Biden's administration, they're lying about it. They want us to. They have created this lie, and they want us to believe it. And again, I go back to the media is helping them. They're giving them cover. And when you have people that are coming out wanting to know what the news is, and you have these knuckleheads that keep reporting to them misinformation, there's your misinformation right there. Now, just imagine if Trump comes back into office and he says, okay, now I'm going to do something with misinformation. I'm going to start calling it out. These guys would have a conniption because they feel that they're the ones who should control the narrative. They're the ones who should say yay or nay, as opposed to speaking the truth. Now, I tell you, you look at what happened today, all of them coming out, all of the talking heads on all of the fake news channels saying, oh, Joe, he did the best. Oh, my God, you see that? We told you he's ready for this. Okay, if he's ready for it, let's see if he's going to go and debate Trump. I want to debate with Trump. He's not going to do it because the first thing he'll say is, why should I legitimize him? And I see them talking about that right now. Don't legitimize him. Don't give him a debate. No, you don't want to debate because Joe can't debate. And if he does, they'll probably give him, again, vitamin B. Joe cannot come out on his own. Just Joe, the simple man. He can't do it. Okay, because he's beyond his prime. He cannot do it. And then they were shouting in the galley the other night, four more years. I'm like, do they actually believe this?
Right.
Guy, I don't even know if he'll make it to November.
Who could imagine that they want 4 more years of this? I'm at a loss. I don't know what to say. Then he had the nerve to say something about how he'll save everybody from fentanyl deaths or something. Well, he's presided over this disaster at the border. And he also said something about, I will not separate families, which you remember was the leftists' big calling card a few years ago. But from my research, as I've said, there are a lot worse things that can happen to children than being separated from their parents temporarily in a secure facility. And thanks to this bad policy, ending Remain in Mexico, expediting people who come with children, we've now incentivized the trafficking of children across the border and into this country, which is, of course, something Joe would never acknowledge when he's wanting credit for his humane stance on never separating a family. Well, as we know, and I interviewed Customs and Border Patrol agents about this, they suspect a lot of these so-called families are not really families, and a lot of people or grabbing kids to get in here because the current policy makes it easy to get in if you come here as a quote unquote family. So, you know, we have done, I mean, the Democrats have done a lot of dysfunctional things, but, that's right at the top of the list. You know, just as they, you know, their welfare policies reward people, you know, for not being an intact family, similarly here, these policies encourage and incentivize the dragging of children across deserts and borders, which has been, you know, very harmful to many children. And that's something that the Democrats, you know, don't even want to look at.
And here's something else I was thinking of when I was looking at the speech that Joe was given. And is why do they hate America so? What has America done to them that they are willing to allow America to just fade away and allow another country to step up. And we saw this under the Obama administration. It's almost as if though they were saying, you know, well, why does America have to be out front? Why can't it be someone else? Well, because America is always opening up its purse to give people money. Look at what he was once again talking about giving Ukraine money. And we will not let Ukraine go at this by itself. We will stand with Ukraine and we will do this with Ukraine and et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. Ukraine is in Europe. Why can't the other European countries step up and assist Ukraine?
Because I don't think they're really scared, Rob. I don't think they really believe that Putin has plans to take over Poland and Spain and England and France. I don't think he does, and I don't think they believe he does. Or I think they would be scared and they would be ponying up money. I think that they know he probably wanted to reconstitute the old Russian Empire. And, you know, we know there was a lot of pushing of NATO further east, which our country promised we wouldn't do, but we needed that 31st NATO country, apparently. 30 wasn't enough. We had to push it on Ukraine. You know my thoughts on all this. It's not about liking Putin or liking the invasion. That's brutal, and it's, it was Putin's folly, too, but I don't believe that would have happened, probably, if our diplomats and military brass and State Department people and whoever all in the big defense establishment hadn't harped and pushed on this point, which was a red line for Putin. I analogize it to the analogy I would give, the way I see it. It's kind of like, some poor girl who's dating a gangster. Okay. And in this scenario, Ukraine is the girl and Putin's the gangster. And America's like this, and NATO like this wealthy guy who keeps saying, you really shouldn't put up with that. You should be independent. You should be an independent woman. Why do you put up with that gangster? That gangster's a jerk. And we're not going to marry you, but maybe a few years down the road, we dangled this carrot of NATO to them. We didn't make them part of NATO. We didn't marry the girl. We just kept taunting the gangster, basically, who said, stay away from my girl, right? This went on for however many years. And then finally, we're still pushing it, something that the gangster said is an absolute red line. No, he doesn't want us near this girl. While we're weak, we keep pushing this. So finally, he just said, you know what? She's mine, and I'm just going to beat her up. Our foreign policy establishment was so feckless and, dangling of this NATO thing, knowing that it was unacceptable to Putin, and yet we didn't have the balls to actually do it. We just kept talking about it and pushing it. And I just think, as it was horribly handled, and I think it continues to be mishandled. And I don't think there's any end in sight. And, this isn't our border. It's not our affair.
But why is there that fear that Americans have that Putin is going to go in and just completely take over Europe? And we have to give them money. I mean, he steps right out the gate talking about, oh, we've got to give them money and we're going to stand with them. I'm like, and here we go again. What about our own border? Why doesn't he address our border? Why doesn't he say, we're going to build a wall. We're going to put up fences so that we can stop these illegals from coming here. Under Joe Biden, I think almost 10 million illegals have crossed the border. And as Trump said, they're not the best. They're not the finest. Some of them are bad people, some bad hombres. And we shouldn't be afraid to say it. But
he was vilified for saying that, even as he bent over backwards to point out that some of these are just nice people who want a chance. I think his statement was fine and the blunt truth. And, yes, everybody acted like it was just the worst thing anybody ever said. And, you know, I mean, the Democrats, they like to elide the distinction between legal and illegal immigration. So anybody who questions or opposes illegal immigrants flooding in, they like to characterize as anti-immigrant, as if there's no difference between following a process and just, you know, kind of barging in. So, yeah, it's just a lot of craziness. I mean, the one issue that they do have, I think, is the abortion issue. You know, as you know, I think that's a biggie. And I think most Americans are more aligned with the Democrats on that one. So, yeah, that could spell some trouble for us.
It could spell some trouble, but I think that Republicans have got to be able to explain their position on it, because he did talk about abortion. He did talk about the Alabama IV law that the Supreme Court. Yeah. I was kind of confused with that, because I'm like, okay, wait a minute. What are they saying? They're protecting, like, aren't they protecting it? And they're saying that if you try to destroy it, you're killing a child. I was completely
confused. I think I think that the issue was something about, you know, not destroying an embryo and considering it, they're not actually outlawing IVF, but it was something like that, trying to make people adhere to the strictest kind of ethics about it, you know, not destroying healthy embryos, I think, you know. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I guess the way IVF is done, I do know a little bit about it. It is, you know, a very delicate process, and the doctors do it in such a way as to optimize the viability. And, you know, I mean, it's the kind of thing where science and practicality, I guess, can collide with ethics sometimes, and it's complex, you know. But I think most Americans, including many American Christians and religious Jews, do partake of IVF if they have fertility struggles. So again, you know, that's where I think if our party takes such an extreme conservative hard line, that's gonna hurt us in terms of electability.
Right. And as I started off saying, we've got to be able to explain our position and be cognizant that we want to win. And that's what Trump had said during one of his town halls, is that, you know, there is I got a Supreme Court justices to protect life, but at the same time, we want to win elections. And you can't be so displaced that you don't realize that this could be the ground that you're going to heal, that you're going to die on, you know, and you want to be open-minded. Mm-hmm. So again, we're up against a commercial break. You're listening to After Dark with Robin Andrew on the America Out Loud platform. We'll be back for the last half of the show after this commercial break.
Expert opinions, honest debate, and in-depth investigations are what you've come to expect from AmericaOutloud.news. We don't shy away from speaking the truth boldly and plainly. All that's missing is the propaganda that has infected legacy and social media. Get the best of down and dirty, wholesome American speak. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
ASEA believes that inside each of us is the potential to feel and be our very best. Our customers will tell you how our products have made a difference for them, from improving immune health, regulating hormone balance, supporting gut health, to soothing the skin, even reducing the appearance of wrinkles, fine lines, and cellulite, and providing targeted support for mind, mood, energy, and even our body's own production of collagen. Make our breakthrough products an essential step in becoming your best self and fulfilling your greatest potential. ASEA, we power potential. For exclusive savings, use code OUTLOUD to save 15% off your first order today.
Clean, pure, with premium ingredients. Global Healing's Pure Plant Protein offers 20 grams of protein per scoop, and it's the perfect way to maintain and build lean muscle while indulging yourself. It combines enzymes and probiotics to maximize nutrient absorption, improving digestion and your gut health. Available in vanilla and chocolate flavors, elevate your protein consumption while supporting your overall wellness with Pure Plant Protein. Go to AmericaOutloud.shop and get 15% off using the code OUTLOUD. Global Healing, giving you the power to take control of your health naturally.
Last half of the show, Heather, and I just want to cover what Biden was talking about, the tax code and wanting to increase the tax code once again on the rich. And I think people have to realize that already the rich pay their fair share. And it's because they're paying their fair share that we're able to have a lot of the programs that we have in our communities. And if people who doubt that, you look at New York City. New York City decided to raise their taxes, increase taxes. They decided to let the criminal activity go rampant. And then you had a huge chunk of the high-end earners saying, okay, we're going to leave New York City. We're going to move to Florida. They did the same thing in Chicago. And now New York City is hemorrhaging because they don't have that tax base. Chicago is hemorrhaging because they don't have the tax base. You look at California. Granted, you have a lot of celebrities that are living in California, but you have some, especially the jobs, that are leaving these areas for Florida and for Texas. So when these Democrats like to jump on this bandwagon of we're going to make them pay more taxes and we're going to take this from them, okay, that's fine. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to leave the city, and then the city will hemorrhage. So it's all a misnomer when people are saying, and then you have some people say, oh, well, I'm paying more taxes than my secretary. Okay, if you feel that, why don't you write the check out for more taxes? But they won't do it, because they're only saying this to get people all riled up and make people angry, to make people think that what Democrats are doing is going to be helpful, when in essence, it's not going to be. Because if the rich leave your cities, if these jobs leave, then the people who are left are going to be hit with the tax bill. And then you will be paying more taxes because there's no one else there to pay the taxes. But people don't understand that, and Democrats won't explain it. And I got to say, Heather, sometimes Republicans do a bad job at trying to explain it also, the same way they do a bad job trying to explain their position on abortion, which, like you said, is a ship that could definitely sink if we don't get out in front of it. What are your thoughts?
Well, yeah, and I mean, I think that the Republicans are the party of life. I mean, I respect the pro-life position. It just, I never loved the term pro-choice. I don't think it should be, you know, I think there should be provisions for it. I'm not an extremist about it, you know, but I don't like abortion either. But I think I do understand that some women are spooked about this because, you know, as Trump said, Trump, the great pragmatist, I call him, you know, some of these states have banned it after 6 weeks, which you might as well sort of flat out ban it. I mean, it's like a lot of, as Trump said, a lot of these girls don't even know they're pregnant at that point, you know. I mean, so it's sort of like, I mean, I think there probably is some sane compromise. I mean, Nikki Haley was talking about 15 weeks. I mean, if God forbid you need to do something, that's enough time to do it. You know, and I think that something like that might be the sanest way to go with it. I do understand it's a moral issue, you know, for many people, and it is for me as well. But I think that the way the country has evolved and the way this you know, kind of freedom exists in this country, you know, it just, I do think that our, you know, our pro-life conservatives, wonderful though they are, and I love many of them, I think they're, you know, there's some great people there who truly cherish life so much, but I think they are out of step with the mainstream. Yes, I do. And, you know, again, not because I think most people love abortion. I mean, you know, some of these leftists are totally callous about it and they've dehumanized the unborn child. And I don't believe in that, you know, but I think that people realize, you know, you have a lot of women and couples, older people who are doing IVF. You have a lot of things that could, you know, potentially be incompatible with life. You know, you have delicate medical situations. You have, you know, on the other end, the very young girls, you know, it just, you know, the absolutist perspective kind of isn't going to win it for us, I don't think. You know, and then you have a lot of people who just, you know, are just, I think, kind of hysterical on the subject themselves. A lot of women who won't acknowledge the need for any regulation whatsoever. And to me, that's a little like taking in a totally absolutist Second Amendment position and saying you should be able to stockpile, you know, weapons. And I mean, there, you know, there is some common sense. There's some compromise possible in terms of regulating extremes, I think, on the issue. But, you know, I think that, yeah, I think it could. I think it's been a, you know, a challenge for the Republicans in, you know, many recent decades. And, you know, I think Trump's got the best approach from what I can see.
I agree. He does have the best approach. And I think the other Republicans have got to get on board and do the same thing. Understand they've got to read the voters and then be able to explain their position a lot more clearly, articulate it a lot better than how they're doing it. All due credit for Nikki Haley. She was able to articulate her position, although I don't care for her. But again, they could take a chapter from her book, seeing now that Joe Biden and the Democrats are definitely going to try to use this as a wedge, as he brought it up or yelled it out during his 40-minute speech, State of the Union. Now, something else I noticed about it, about the speech, is that it was 40 minutes long. I think he was trying to prove a point that he's able to stay up late with the big guys, as opposed to calling it a quit at 7 or noon during the day. It was also, I found, to be the most partisan State of the Union speech ever. And with the yelling, the screaming, and I think that might have been part of his ability to stay focused, because he was yelling and screaming. And I think they probably said, let Joe be Joe, because if he were to come out being all quiet, he probably would have fallen asleep. But when he was able to yell and scream, and he had this like look on his face of anger throughout the speech, I think that was part of the, you know, it was baked in the cake to let him do it so that he would stay awake. Because had he not done it, he would have definitely probably would have like kind of like just got tired and teetered off. And toward the end, I think the energy level did kind of subside. And when the Gold Star dad, Angel dad yelled out, I think that took him off kilter slightly and he had to like regain his composure. And then he started yelling again. But I think all of that was part of the strategy, Heather, to be honest with you, mm-hmm. when I think about it now. And listening to the commentators from this morning, them saying, you know, how he was good, but he was yelling throughout the entire State of the Union address. And that's not an address whereby you're yelling at the American people. It's like, we did this and we did that and we're not going to stop. And I'm thinking, why is he yelling? Just say what you got to say and that's it. But I think that had he done it, not only would he have put us to sleep, but I think he would have put himself to sleep as well. And then you had Kamala, who was like standing up just about on every word that he said, clapping. And in a way, I feel sorry for her, because from what I'm hearing is that the Democrats had thought that Joe would do these 4 years and then he would step aside and allow her to step forward, or she would have been shining throughout his term that people would have said, okay, she can handle this. But she's been such a failure herself as vice president with many of her speeches. I don't know who her speechwriter is, but you would think at this point someone would have tapped her on the shoulder and say, you need to change directions, but that hasn't happened. And so watching her during the State of the Union behind him, he made reference to her wants and saying that she had done a good job, but she's supposed to be the border czar, you know, to go in and, you know, try to put this whole thing with the border together, but she hasn't done it. So I think right. that her time as vice president has pretty much been a failure
yeah.
at itself. I don't think she added anything to the ticket other than she's just a placeholder. So all those people who keep saying that Joe's going to step aside and they're saying Michelle, it's not going to happen that way.
I think Michelle announced it's not going to. She said she's not going to run, correct?
Right. She says she's not going to do it. Her press secretary or someone put out that she's not doing it. So all those people who think that Michelle or even Gavin Newsom, that they will be able to hopscotch over Kamala, as bad as she is, I mean, I could see a out and out warfare at the convention, at the Democratic convention, if they think they're going to do it. Now, and that's something else that we have to be aware of. Republicans have to be aware. We have to be aware of the games that they're playing, because they want you to think that, oh, well, she'll just step aside quietly and rightfully so. No, absolutely, she should not. No, I don't support her, but I think that if they try to pull a fast one, to try to get elevate someone over her like a Gavin Newsom or a Governor Whitmer, I think that Kamala should stand up and say, oh, no, you're not. You're not going to hopscotch over me and get one of them. You knew what Joe was. You knew who Joe was when you put him in there. I'm second in command. So don't think you're going to hopscotch over me and put someone else in. So him making reference to her tonight, I thought it was interesting. But it will, the way things are going to play out onward, it will be interesting to see as to how the Democrats are going to play this out.
I personally am going to make a prediction, Rob. I'm going out on a limb here. Well, I'm tempted to say I still think Biden might not be the nominee, but he might be. But wouldn't be surprised if somehow Newsom, you know, gets in there, you know, something like that. I don't know. But we'll see. It will be interesting.
I think that he's going to be the nominee unless he, like I said, I think he has one foot in the grave, another foot on a banana peel. I think that he's going to, I don't think they have a choice. I mean, and after this, you know, this, what he did tonight, you saw all the commentators saying, oh, he did such a great job. Oh my God. Oh, Biden. Well, he had vitamin B shots. You know, they did something to keep him alert. And eventually we'll find out the truth. But everything that he was saying was a complete lie. Lies that Democrats have been telling us all along. And I hope the American citizens see through it. And I think that if Trump, and I'm going to say this, and I mean this in the best way, if Trump becomes a little bit more disciplined and starts to narrow in on Joe Biden, drop all of the insults, just narrow in on his ineffectiveness of Joe Biden and the Democrat Party, and then we need for Republicans to come together, like that thing that Nikki Haley said the other day in her concession speech was pathetic. She should have just said, okay, I didn't get it. Thank you. I want all my supporters to back Trump, as opposed to I want you to work for them. It's like he's working for the boss of everyone. Come on, Nikki. This is how we defeat ourselves, by doing silly things like this. You should have just come out, put aside your feelings. I mean, you messed up. You should have jumped out earlier on and should have just said, okay, I didn't make the cut. Well, I support you. You see, but this she has given Democrats something to go against the Republicans on. And I hate when stuff like that happens. So I would say to all of them, I would say to her, I would say to Trump, you got to be more disciplined, because you see that this is not how they're going to be a cakewalk. This is not going to be a cakewalk in the park. Everyone saw this State of the Union address. We have the left that's coming out praising Biden, said that it was the best thing ever. And in my opinion, it was a very partisan speech. It was a very dark speech. It was a very, I'm going to attack speech. It wasn't a speech to bring the American people together. It was more so to divide us more so, just to continue to divide us. So I would say to my Republicans, it's time to come together. You've got to put it together, because if you don't, they are going to steal the election yet again. What do you say, Heather?
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of not so sure how it is that Trump and the rest of us believe they're going to let him win. I mean, it's like they've thrown everything but the kitchen sink at him, as is obvious to any thinking person. I mean, just him and anyone associated with him throwing court cases and legal attacks about crazy stuff that's claimed to have happened 30 years ago in the dressing room at Bergdorf Goodman, and that he lied about his wealth. And I mean, you know, all the Russia collusion, which was all complete nonsense and just plays on that old anti-Russian prejudice, which is very easy to tap into. But, you know, they've just thrown thing after thing about him. And it's so obvious that they must be beside themselves, the establishment and the left, to see that he's rising again. So I don't know. I mean, I think they'll try anything, almost anything. It's going to be crazy.
Well, they will. I'm surprised that Joe didn't mention it during his the State of the Union address, Trump's legal issues. I guess he didn't, because he probably knew that, you know, people would probably tie them to him. I was reading just the other day that you have this judge who is trying to demand that Trump gives E. Jean Carroll $83 million. Now, if this were any other situation, they would have said, okay, let this play out. We're not going to demand it. You know, he can appeal, but they're demanding, no, we want him to give her $83 million. Because in essence, what they're doing is they're trying to bankrupt him. $83 million to her, and then $600 million that Letitia James is trying to steal from him. I mean, it's time for some court to step in and say, we can't do this. This is not a democracy.
What about Bonnie Willis? Where does she fit in? What's she trying to do?
Again, Joe didn't mention anything. He said Joe stayed clear of all those legal issues. And I'm surprised. He stayed clear, because he knew that had he brought them up, the American people would have said, okay, here we go. We see what he's trying to do. So Fannie Willis, I think she should be removed. She should have recused herself. These are all self-inflicted wounds that she brought upon herself, because all she had to do was just say, okay, first, I'm not going to testify. I'll let this play out. Then when she saw that, hey, this is coming too close to home, she should have just stepped aside. And now we're finding out that she and this other guy, they had gone to the White House. This administration is so corrupt. And because the media will not call it out, they're making it seem as though this is normal. Just the same way they were doing during the State of the Union, everything that Joe is saying is normal. It's right. And we know that it's a lie. We look around us. We see the inflation. We see the crime. We see the border has been breached. We see money's going to Ukraine for nothing. But they want us to believe that it's all okay and it's not okay. I would say to Americans, wake up. I know how you feel about Trump. You don't like him, but you have to look at his policies compared to Joe. If you put Joe back in there, it will be complete chaos. Now, we're all out of time. Glad you guys joined us tonight just to hear our take on the State of the Union. You've been listening to After Dark with Robin Andrew on the America Out Loud platform. And my co-host tonight, Heather Robinson of the New York Post. I would encourage you to definitely read her articles when they come up on the New York Post. As my dear friend Andrew would always say, stand for something or fall for nothing. God bless. Good night. And we hope you'll join us again on our next show. Thank you.